gives me a little bit of a shaky feeling this morning. So pray for me. I would appreciate that. And I just want to bless you again for being here this morning. I'm going to do something this morning that I probably shouldn't do, but I'm going to because I felt this is what the Lord said to do. Our Sunday school lesson the last two Sundays, and I think next Sunday, is out of 1 John. But that's where I'm going this morning, too. So maybe God has something in 1 John that he wants us to pick up. Maybe it's just a reminder of what we've already learned in the last couple Sundays. Maybe it's something else that he wants us to see. But I found the more that I get into the scripture, even if it's the same scripture, something else pops out at me. And there's something he wants for me to understand, to learn. 1 John is a book that talks a lot about love. It talks a lot about life, how we do life. As we read it, I find there's a lot of things that come right down to where we live. It doesn't go over our heads. It's just actually pretty simple. So I'm hoping this morning as we go through the first chapter that we can learn a few things. Maybe something that would touch us exactly where we're at today in our walk with Christ. There's a key verse in 1 John that I'd like to read. And that's in chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know." I want you to remember that phrase. "That ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." We believe John was the author of this. And that he was writing to possibly a couple of different churches, maybe a little bit like a circle letter. And they went to a couple of different churches. And one of the reasons he was writing was to strengthen them, to encourage them in their faith. Something we all need is encouragement. By the way, I got some encouragement from a brother this morning, just talking. And that just blessed me so much. We need encouragement as brothers and sisters. My wife got a text this week. That was a huge encouragement to her. Here a while back, Paul talked about sending out texts. Let's encourage each other. We need it. We're in a day right now where if you look at the news, it's really discouraging. We need to encourage one another. And that's what John was doing here, I believe, is encouraging. He was also warning them or helping them. And there was a doctrine that was coming into the church called Gnosticism. And I'm not going to try to explain this, but it had to do with Jesus not quite being enough. He wanted to make sure that that wasn't so. That's why he wrote in chapter 5, verse 13, "that ye may know." So John had some reasons for writing here. I've titled my message this morning, "A Clean Ship." A clean ship. I want to share with you a little story this morning. There was a ship that was named the Pelicano. This ship was on the water back in the mid-1960s is when this ship was built. And they put it out on the water, and it was doing what it was called to do. But something happened that nobody else wanted anything to do with this ship. This ship tried to land at a couple different ports, and they continued to refuse this ship. They tried landing in Sri Lanka, in Bermuda, the Dominican Republic, the Netherlands, the Antilles. I'm not sure if I said that right or not, but in Honduras, every one of those ports rejected this ship. Maybe it was because the ship was 19 years old. It's really not an old ship. That's a pretty young ship. No, it was actually a very seaworthy ship. It was 466 feet long. It was a big ship. Maybe it was the owner. No. The owner paid taxes. He took care of the ship. The license were up to date. Maybe it's the crew. Maybe it's the crew that kept them from wanting them in the ports. No, it wasn't the crew. The crew was actually very efficient. What was the problem that this ship was not welcomed at any port? So we're going to stop the story there, and I'm going to come back to that story here after a bit. I'd like for you to go to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to read the first three verses to begin with. And I want you to imagine John as a man that there's some excitement in his voice here. Here this summer, we had a fire about two houses down the road from us. There was a garage fire. And it was hot. It was a very hot day. So we quickly went down, and there's an older gentleman lives on one side, the other side are some rentals. So some of us quickly ran into the rental apartment. We yelled up the stairs, trying to find out, is anybody at home? The fire was hot. We went to the other side, where there was an older gentleman living inside. So I quick ran in, and I told him, you need to get out. The fire is hot. It's right next door. And his house was awfully close. So we grabbed his dog, and we got him outside. I didn't have a hard time talking about that fire that day. It was really hot. And I used some excitement when I talked about that fire, because I was there. If I wouldn't have been there, it wouldn't near have been so real to me. Now listen to what John says in verse 1 to 3 here of 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. John was there. The man that was from the beginning, I got to hear him. We have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. He said, I actually got to see him with my own eyes. Which we have looked upon. Our hands have handled. We actually got to touch him. John, I think, was excited about this. So excited that watch what he does in the next two verses. He's going to repeat himself a little bit. Our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. It was shown us, and we have seen it and bear witness. And show unto you what? That eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. It was shown to us. We understood it. And he says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. We want you to know about it too. That ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He wasn't satisfied in just knowing that for himself, but he wanted them to know about it. I'm reminded daily at work where I work, there's a lot of people that come in and I get to talk to a lot of people throughout the day. And I'm reminded daily that what I share with them is either going to be positive or negative. Yes, I want to be positive because I want John's store to do well. But I've told John already, if I can't minister there, then that's not my job. I have to move on. Each one of your jobs, wherever you're involved in, should be a place of ministry. Somehow, it should be a place of ministry. That you're showing Jesus to the world around us. John was so excited, he wants us to know about this Jesus. And if you think about it, all the years ago that this was written, we're actually reading that here this morning. Because John wanted us to know who he was, who he is. So that's a challenge for us this morning. Are we sharing Jesus every day? Are we looking for ways to make his name known? We're in a lost and dying world. Just look around you a little bit. I'm not sure if I shared this across the pulpit, but I shared it somewhere, that I met a man at work here not too long ago. And as I shared with him, and we talked, and he was using God's name, and finally I told him, I said, you know, that's my Savior. Yeah, he backed off a little bit, but as he walked away, I thought, Beagle, that was his nickname. Beagle's going to face a lost eternity unless the Holy Spirit works in his life and he says yes. They're all around us. It's so important that we share. We have the answer. We know Jesus. Let's share Jesus. Verse 4, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. I want joy that is full. Friday was a bad day. I'm not going to lie to you. Friday was a really rough day for me. I came home and I was just down. I told my wife, I'm not even going to study. I said, I'm just going to go in. I'm going to spend time with the Lord. And I did. And God gave me new courage. Saturday morning, I was excited about going back to work again. That's what God will do when we come to him in honesty. I'm not saying that I'm an honest man. That's not what I'm trying to pat myself on the back this morning. But I want us to know that he's there. He's waiting. He wants us to have joy that is full. And when I think about this joy that he wants us to have that's full, it's complete, it's perfect. I can't get that by myself. It's only through him that I can have that. John 16:19 says, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do ye inquire? Maybe I should give a little background to this. Jesus was telling the disciples here, I'm going to leave. And they were wondering, how can this be? We don't understand. Explain to us a little bit. And then he says, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while and ye shall not see me? And again a little while and ye shall see me? They were wondering, Jesus, what are you talking about? You're talking about leaving and we just don't quite get this. Verse 20, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Then he gives an example. He says, a woman when she's in travail has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And then he tells him, it says, now, therefore, you have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And then there's two verses here that I have never understood. As I've been digging into, trying to figure out, what are you trying to tell them? And I'm going to read these verses in the NLT. At that time you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth, you will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use my name. Something new was beginning to happen here. You're using my name and the Father will speak to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. In the past, I read that in the King James. Let me read that in the NLT. You haven't done this before. You haven't been asking in my name. Now he's saying ask using my name and you will receive and you will have what? Abundant joy. I believe he wants to give us joy. He wants to fill us with what he is, with what he's got, with who he is. But the fact is, so many times I don't come to the place where I want to ask him. I just expect it of him. I'm not going to allow my life to be changed because it's going to cost me something, but I still want the joy. No. We come to him and we walk with him. And he gives us, we ask him, and he gives us abundant joy. 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Satan's busy right now, isn't he? He wants to steal that joy from us. He's just happy if he can get that done. Nehemiah 8 is an interesting story, and I'm going to paraphrase this really quick, just keep it short. But when the book of the law was being read, they were standing for a long time. They had their arms raised up. There was weeping going on. Finally, Nehemiah told them, he said, I want you to go home. He said, go home and fix meals. You have food. Go home and fix food. Rejoice in the food that you have and the blessings that you have. But he says, don't stop with that. Start giving it away. Find joy in that. There's a message in itself. Find joy in that. And he says, but rejoice, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. We try to go it on our own strength so many times, and we find we just fail, don't we? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And as I was thinking about this, thinking about the joy that we can have, thinking about what John was writing here about having seen him and wanting us to have what he had, it has to begin somewhere. And it begins when the Father draws us to himself. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. The fact is, if I don't see my need, I'm probably not going to say yes to anything like this. In Deuteronomy, and I realize this is Old Testament, but in Deuteronomy chapter 30, God is speaking to the Israelites, and he's given them a choice, and he gives us his choice today too. This is what he tells them. He says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But then he says in verse 17, he says, but if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. A choice that they had to make, that we have to make also today. Let's move on. Let's go to verse 5, and we're going to read all the way through the end. We're going to skip through 5 through 8. We're not going to talk much about that. We had some of that in our Sunday school lesson this morning, I believe. So let's read it. We're going to land on verse 9 here. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So I want to come back to verse 9 for just a few minutes here. Probably one of my favorite verses in Scripture. It's a verse that I memorized years ago, and I think one of the reasons it's one of my favorite verses is the idea that we look back at our past sins and we realize where we came from. Satan would like for us to have the idea that, no, you've got that in your past, in your background, so you cannot be victorious. I don't know where you're at with that. But that's come back to me many times already. No, you did this. But when I take Satan back to this verse, and I tell him, no, this is what the Bible says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What a promise. The sins that are of the past, Satan has nothing over them. We bring them to Jesus and we confess to him. Acknowledge where we're at. We have a gospel today that is being taught that lacks repentance. We have a gospel today that feels good because it doesn't require anything of me. This doesn't say that. This says there is a confession. It's a coming in line with what Jesus the Father wants. It's in coming in line with who he says he is and admitting to the Father that I've made a mistake. I messed up. And he comes in and he cleanses us and he makes us right with him. I was telling the Sunday school class last Sunday, if our relationship with Christ, our vertical, is where it should be, that's when the horizontal is going to start taking place also. But we want the horizontal to work without the vertical happening. We would like to have all that fellowship and everything happening amongst us, but we don't want to come underneath Christ. It doesn't work that way. We first come to Christ. And we come in right relationship with him. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then the last part. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. That's not a partial cleansing. That's a complete cleansing. It's everything. Some of us had experiences when we gave our hearts to the Lord where we felt so different instantly. Some of us didn't have that. For some, it took a while. We grew. And it was a continual growth process. But we came to a place of peace, complete peace, and knowing that everything is under the blood. And it's a continual thing. We continue to strive to walk with Christ. If we start reading in the book of Romans, I challenge you to do that. Read Romans 5 through 7 and see how God does that in us. I can try all I want to. I'm going to keep failing. But him in us, working in us, is what purifies us. That makes us clean before him. Psalm 32:5 says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So here's what I want us to realize this morning, I guess, is that none of us here this morning have to walk around with sin looming big over us. But we can walk around with peace, knowing that he's taken our sins from us, that he's covered them. I truly believe if we're going to be successful here as a body at Calvary Chapel, we've been through some tough stuff the last while. I'm not going to try to hide that. I think if we're going to be successful, it's going to take each one of us individually. No, we can't point fingers. Each one of us individually to come before the Father and to ask him, like David said, cleanse me. Look, see if there's anything within me that needs to be cleaned. I believe that's how we're going to find that we can move ahead. Let's go back to the story of the ship. What was it about this ship that none of the ports one at this ship close by. Some of you may remember this back in 1986, where the city workers in Philadelphia decided to go on strike. For 18 days they were on strike. Moms, I challenge you with something. No, I don't. Let's not do this. But imagine you take your trash cans and you don't empty your trash can in your house for 18 days. Just let it pile up. Imagine what it'd be like in your house. This was the city of Philadelphia. For 18 days, there was no trash service. It piled up and it stank. Until they finally came to an agreement, it's time to do something about it. So they came in and they began hauling trash out, and they burned it until they had lots and lots of ashes. And there was some pretty nasty stuff in those ashes. The owner of the Pelicano decided, I'm going to make a quick buck. I'll take those ashes. They pulled into port. They came out and they loaded 15,000 tons of trash into that ship. Now we understand why no port would take them. It was nasty. I don't want us to get the idea this morning that because we have sin in our lives, nobody wants to be around us. That's not the picture this morning. But here's the picture that I want us to see. What was in the ship's hold, what was down below, was pretty rotten, pretty filthy. We don't know where that trash went to. I don't think they know yet. Somewhere it got unloaded, and the ship came back again and was useful. I'm like that ship. You're like that ship. Sometimes there's trash that's in our lives. And because of that trash, we can't get close to the Father. I don't know what's in your life, but I know sometimes what's in mine. And I want to share with you how good it is to bring it to Christ and to tell Him, listen, the ship is full of garbage. Please take it. Fill it with something else. Make it useful again. That's what He wants to do with each one of us this morning. A clean ship. I want to challenge you this week to go home, to come before the Lord. But don't do this unless you're willing to listen to Him, because He requires that we obey. But go home, bring it before the Lord, and ask Him, is there anything in this ship that needs to be removed, that needs cleansing, that needs purifying? And if you're not sure about doing it by yourself, find somebody to pray with you. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A ship that has no more garbage, but is clean and can be useful for His kingdom. God bless you this morning. Thank you for listening. I'm going to ask you to stand and we'll pray. Father, we thank You this morning for Your promise to us that You will forgive. Lord, I just pray that You would help each one of us here this morning to allow You to search us, to allow You to maybe shake us up a little bit, and to help us to realize that without You, we don't have a future. We don't have a good future. But Lord, with You, we've got an eternity ahead of us where we can worship, we can praise, and we can honor You throughout all of eternity. I pray this morning that You would draw us close to Yourself, that You would speak into our hearts. Lord, that You would help us to understand that this is something each one of us has to make a choice. Nobody can make that choice for us. We just want to bless You this morning. You've given us so much to be thankful for. Would you dismiss us with your blessing? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.